Good morning. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And the answer is, as Bob said, nobody. Nobody can stop the Lord. Nobody. And let me remind you of this morning that Jesus Christ, God the Father, loves you. He loves you. He wants the best for your life. He doesn't want sin in your life. He doesn't want any of that. I want to say before I get started, this might be a little bit harder of a message. We're going to deal with two big topics. Two topics that a lot of people don't want to talk about, and that's pride and repentance. Pride and repentance. And there is a lot of pride in this world. There's a lot of prideful people, and there's a lot of people who think that they're right. That they've got it all together, that nothing's going to be able to touch them. And listen to me this morning, the world might act like this, but Christians act the same way. Christians act the same way. They think that they're right, that nothing can touch them, that they're the best, that they're the best Christians. Listen to me closely. We can't go on sinning without any consequences. We can't say that because the grace that God gives us, we can't take advantage of that grace that God's given to us. We can't keep on sinning and sinning and sinning and think that there's not going to be any consequences for it. That there's not going to be anything. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 4. See, pride can destroy our life. Pride can keep us from having a good godly witness. Sharing the gospel can be very difficult if you have pride in your life and it keeps us from repentance. Pride is the number one thing. The number one thing that will keep you from getting your life right with God. Let me ask you this question. Are you prideful? Be honest with yourself. Are you prideful? Have you let pride lead your life? Do you think that you're the best? Do you think that wherever you serve and that you're the best, that nobody can touch you? We're going to read a story. We're going to read a story here about King Nebuchadnezzar. Let me give you a little bit of context. King Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. It's about this big old tree. It's about this big, huge tree, and a voice from heaven says, "Cut it down. Cut it down." And King Nebuchadnezzar, he's afraid. He doesn't understand this dream. And here we have Daniel, or how we're going to see his name, is Belshazzar. And I'm going to mess that name up probably 20 times I say it. But when I say Belshazzar, it's talking about Daniel. That's his Babylonian name. Starting in verse 19. "Then Daniel, also called Belshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, 'Belshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you.' Belshazzar answered, 'My lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meanings to your adversaries.'" Daniel's afraid to tell the king what this dream's about. He is terrified. Why would he be terrified? Because he's about to give the king some bad, bad news about this dream. This dream's not good. This dream isn't about his enemies perishing, his enemies being cut down, or great Babylon being the greatest empire in all the land. It's not about any of that. It's about the king. And if Daniel's afraid here that if he says anything bad against the king, that Daniel will die. Daniel will be cut down, but luckily we see the king say, "Don't let it alarm you. Don't be afraid, just tell me." The king wants to know what it means. The king's afraid. He needs to know what it means. Verse 20. "The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its tops touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the wild animals, and having nesting places in its branches for the birds. Your majesty, you are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to the distant parts of the earth. Your majesty saw a holy one, a messenger coming down from heaven and saying, 'Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump. bound with iron and bronze, in the grass of the field while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the wild animals until seven times pass by for him. This is the interpretation, Your Majesty, and this is the decree. The Most High has issued against my lord and the king. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, Your Majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. See, here's what the dream means. Here's what the dream means. King, you're full of pride. You think you're the greatest, but listen to me. God is in control. God owns everything. God owns Babylon. God owns King Nebuchadnezzar. And this, listen to me, God is ready to take it all away. If the king doesn't acknowledge that heaven rules, that God rules, that God is the king, God is the Lord, God is the leader of our life, He leads and guides our life, He's ready to take it all away, church. He's ready to take it all away from the king. Can you imagine the thought of King Nebuchadnezzar here? Can you imagine knowing what this dream means, that the great ones king could have it all taken away, that it's no more? You think he would say, oh yeah, heaven rules automatically. You would think that. But many Christians don't do it as well. Many Christians will say the same thing. Well, you know, I can keep on sinning. Grace covers me. Jesus' blood covers me, and praise God that it does. Praise God that we have a way into heaven because of Jesus Christ's blood, but that doesn't mean we take advantage of the grace we've been given, the freedom we've been given. Instead, glorify God. Say that heaven rules. Amen, church. Heaven rules. God rules. It is all God's. All of it. Everything we have here, everything that the king has here, it's all God's. We need to renounce our sins to God. And listen to me closely. And repent. Church, if there is sin in your life, it is easily taken care of with that word right there, repentance. If there's sin in your life, listen to me, you turn from it. That's what repentance is. You turn from it. And I'll go a little bit deeper. It's a change of heart. You no longer want to do that sin anymore. You're disgusted by that sin anymore. You don't want anything to do with it anymore. Repent, church. Repent if you're living in sin. And listen to me, the king is living in sin because of his pride. Because the pride that the king has, he's living in it. I mean, this is the most important part. He's fine with it. Oh, I hope if you're a Christian today and if you happen to slip up, if you happen to fall in temptation, you're not fine with it. You're not fine with it. You have the guilt of the Holy Spirit. You have the conviction of the Holy Spirit when you sin. I know a lot of you know this conviction. I know a lot of you know when you sin and you feel the guilt and you say, I don't want it anymore. Take it, God. I'm sorry. I turn from it. I repent. It's yours, God. Take it from me. He's fine with it. The king here is fine with it. See, three reasons pride keeps us from repentance. We think what we have is ours. Church, we think what we have is ours, and it's not. God, and that God cannot take it away. He can take it away. We think we are better than others. This is what pride tells us, that we are better than others. Listen to me, you're no better than anybody else. I hope that doesn't hurt your pride today. You're no better than anybody else. You might be the best, but you're no better than anybody else in God's eyes. No better than anybody else. And listen to me, this is the thing everybody does. The thing the world does and the thing that Christians will do is we will justify our sin. We will say that our sin is not as bad as somebody else's sin. We'll say, well, I stole a pencil, but did you see what Phil Fisher stole? Did you see what he stole? It wasn't that big of a deal, right? It wasn't that big of a deal. Listen to me. Sin is sin. Come on, church. We should understand that this morning, that sin is sin regardless of if anybody sins more than you. If you're not right with God, you're not right with God. And the king here, he's not right with God, and he's not willing to give it up. He's not willing to acknowledge that God is king, God is Lord. In verse 28, listen closely. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. Everything that's been decreed, all this. But this is the most important part, and this shows the grace, the mercy that God has. 12 months later, the king had 12 months. He had 12 months to get it right. That's the God we serve. God could have took it right then. God could have took it back when the dream was interpreted. But he gave him 12 months to get it right. Church, he's given us time to get it right. On this world, on this earth, you have time to get it right. Don't waste it. Don't wait to repent. Don't wait to renounce your sins. Don't wait. But the king's going to wait. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as your royal residence by my mighty power for the glory of my majesty?" Can you believe the king says that? People do it all the time. People say these things all the time. Every day. "Is this not the great Babylon I have built as your royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" If I needed to define pride, I would use that verse right there. It's a lot of I's and a lot of my's in that verse. The king says, "It's all mine. Look what I built. No one can match me. I'm too mighty. I'm too powerful." Even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. "This is what I decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You have been driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge the Most High as sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes." Immediately, what has been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from the people and ate grass like the ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. What a picture. This wasn't a figure of speech. The dream that was interpreted wasn't a figure of speech. It was literal. It was literal. He literally turned into an animal. And he was driven away from everything that the king built. Everything that Nebuchadnezzar said that was his, he was driven away from it. It was no longer his. Everything that had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. And listen to me closely. God was patient. God was patient with the king. God is patient with us to get it right. He allowed, all the king had to do was acknowledge. That's it. That's all he had to do. Was acknowledge that God was God. That God was the king. That he was no match for God. That heaven rules. But why was he not able to do that? Why could he not say that God was God? He saw them. He saw God. He saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is after. He saw them in the fiery furnace. He saw the Son of God in the fiery furnace. You think it'd been so easy for Nebuchadnezzar just to say, "Of course you rule, God. I've seen your mighty power. I've seen your hand move." But for some reason, Nebuchadnezzar couldn't do it. Why? Because of pride. Pride will destroy your life. Pride will make you like an animal. You might think you're the greatest, but listen to me. It leaves you to the dust and destruction. Destruction, that is what pride gives you. It gives you nothing else. And in fact, it keeps us away from God. If you want to draw near to God, you better not have any pride in your life. You can't have pride if you want to draw closer to the Father. See, here's the breaking point. This is the breaking point right here when he says, "It's all mine." That's it. God says, "It's done. It's done. Don't let it be done for you." Don't wait. Don't wait to repent. Don't wait to acknowledge that you've done wrong. We've all done wrong, church. We've all done wrong. Don't be ashamed of that, but give it to God. Repent of it. Turn from it, church. Turn from it. See, God is patient with us. Everything God said came true. He keeps His promises, even in the bad stuff. We like to say He keeps His promises on all the good stuff, and praise God He does. But listen to me. He keeps His promises in the bad stuff. And I'm going to be hard here. Listen to me closely. There's a hell. Listen to me. There's a hell. And that's promised if you don't have Jesus Christ. If you don't repent of your sins and you don't acknowledge that Jesus is Lord of your life, that's for you, unfortunately. That's what's promised. That's the interpretation. That's the dream. That's the only thing that's been talking about to King Nebuchadnezzar. That's what's promised to us. Don't go there. Please, don't go there. You don't want to go there. Why? Not why? It's because it's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yeah, it's bad. It's fire. It's hell. But listen to me. Much more, it's separated from God. You're separated from God. There's no God there. You want to be where God is. God's gonna deal with sin. Why? Because He is holy. We sang it in the song, right? Holy, holy, are You Lord? Holy, holy, are You Lord? That's who He is. We like to think of God as loving and compassionate and merciful, and He is all those things. He does them way better than anybody else. But listen to me, He's a just God, He's a holy God, He deals with sin. Praise God, He does. He deals with sin, because if He didn't, I don't know where my life would be. And listen to me, church, I'm gonna talk about the church for a minute. Listen to me, if we stand up and we say, look at what New Life Fellowship has done, look at what the ministries have done, look at what I or Jimmy or you or whoever it is has done, listen to me, God has every right to take it away. Every right to take the ministries away. Every right. Because why? Because they're all His. We do His work. We don't do our work. We do His work. We acknowledge that He is God. And we ask God to lead the ministries, to lead the church, to be here. And listen to me, there's more than two. There's more than three here. And Jesus Christ is here today. Jesus Christ is here today. And listen to me, if you got sin in your life, if you got sin holding you back, repent of it. Repent. That's been the message since the beginning of Acts and even in the Old Testament. Repent. 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 You know you're in a lot better of a spot when you repent, when you become humble. Sometimes God does the humbling for us. That's not the best place to be when God has to humble you as a Christian. When God has to humble you because you're a little bit too prideful, you're thinking too much about yourself, sometimes God will humble us. Let's see what here. Verse 34. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His dominion is eternal, is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the people of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the people of the earth. No one can hold back His hand and say to Him, "What have You done?" At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything He does is right, and all His ways are just. And those who walk in pride, He is able to humble. I'm going to read that again. Come on, church, listen closely. Because everything He does is right, and all His ways are just. And those who walk in pride, He is able to humble. He humbled King Nebuchadnezzar. He humbled the king. That doesn't happen. You don't humble the king. The king is king. But listen to me, there's a much greater king. And His name is Jesus Christ. And sometimes He'll humble us. He'll humble us. Listen to me closely here. Humility brings repentance. When we become humble, we will repent. It's not all about ourselves, but listen to me. Repentance brings restoration. The king's kingdom was restored to him because he did what he was supposed to do and repent. Turn with me to Jonah chapter 3. We saw a king who didn't do it right. We saw a king who really was like, nah, this is mine. This is mine. I've seen what you've done, God, but I can do it better. I'm way better than you, God. We say the same thing, church. Many people in many ministries say that I can do it better than God. I can do it better than He'll do it. I could get more people in the church than God could ever bring. We say those things. We might not say them out loud, but we'll say them in our heart. Let's see what this king does. It's a whole different type of king here. Jonah chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued to Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He relented and did not bring on them the destruction He had threatened. Listen to me. Repentance brings restoration. We see a whole different king here. A king. This is crazy. Listen to this closely. When Jonah's warning reached the king, when the warning of the 40 days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown, that means the king is no longer king anymore. There's no nation of Nineveh, no more. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. The king does not do that. Can you imagine a king taking off his royal robes? His royal robes and sitting down in the dust. The dust. Why? Because he was humble. He came with humility, an issue not only for himself, but for all Nineveh, the whole nation of Nineveh, to put on sackcloth. What is sackcloth? It's what they put on for mourning. When they were saddened, when there was deep weeping inside their spirit, they put on this sackcloth. Why would there be deep weeping? Because they have sinned. They've messed up. They've gotten it wrong. And they want to get it right. They says the Ninevites believed God and a fast was proclaimed. And all of them, from the greatest, listen to me, from the greatest to the least. Repentance is not only for the greatest, and not only for the least, it's for all. All must repent. All must repent of their sins and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. All, from the greatest. And this is the crazy part. Jonah didn't even want to go. Jonah never wanted to go to Nineveh. It says he said the Lord came to Jonah a second time. He didn't go the first time, but can you imagine if Jonah never warned the Ninevites that they were sinners? If that Jonah never warned the Ninevites that their kingdom was going to be overthrown? What would have happened? Well, doesn't God keep His promises? Doesn't God keep His promises? And I'm going to be hard one more time. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. And listen to me, God keeps his promises, but God's will is that none should perish. No, not one should perish and go to hell. Not one would go to hell. What do you have to do? Repent and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Repent of your sins. Listen to me, we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. See, this is a king who gets it right. I pray that we're this type of king, that we're this type of king. We don't let pride lead our life. We don't let this idea that we're the best. We're not the best. God is the best. Any time that you think in your head that you're the best, you better be saying, oh wait, I think God's the best. I think God is the best. Because listen to me, the devil does this. The devil uses pride all over the place. You see it in many, many businesses, in many, many churches, and in many, many... It's everywhere. Pride. Pride destroys lives. See, the thing about pride, it makes it look like you've got some glorious life, that you got some really, really good life, that you're the best, that really, you know, your life is just the greatest. But listen to me, that's not reality. Life here on earth is not great at all. In fact, it's a lot of suffering and pain, but listen to me, pride blinds all of that. It makes you think you're good. It makes you think you've got it all together. But listen to me, there's a lot of us who don't have it all together. Who don't have it all together. Why? Because of sin. Sin destroys life. Sin leads to death. And listen to me, I've told you before, I'm always going to remind you of this because it is the greatest thing in all creation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to get your life right, if you've got sin deep down in your life and you can't get rid of it, give it to Jesus Christ. He's died for it. He shed his blood for it. And listen to me, he gives us grace upon grace upon grace to get it right. Patience after patience after patience. Don't wait. Don't wait to repent. Don't wait to get it right. Please don't wait. We must be quick to repent. Because sooner or later, the patience runs out. Sooner or later, we keep on sinning and sinning and sinning. And you as Christians, listen, you keep on sinning, you keep living a sinful life. Sooner or later, the hammer's coming down. The hammer's coming down. Don't think that you can just go ahead and live in sin and it's just going to be all roses and lilies and all the good things, because it's not. Because sin is bad. Even though the world might gloss it up, even if the world says that's not a sin, you can go on doing that. You can go on doing this. Listen to me. You've got to be reading the Word of God. If you want to know what sin is, if you want to know when you're wrong, read the Word of God. Don't listen to anybody else tell you, oh, you go on doing that, or you shouldn't be doing that. See what God has to say. See what the Word of God says about sin. See what the Word of God says, how God's going to deal with sin. See, many Christians are in bad places this morning. Bad, bad places, because pride has kept them there. Pride has kept them from repentance. As I hope that this is setting in. Pride is a beast. Pride is a lot of times the root of a lot of sins. Pride is a beast, and it destroys lives. And it, listen to me, it keeps you from being the Christian God's called you to. Each one of you this morning, God has given you purpose. God has given you meaning in life to do the will of the Father, to do the will of God. And pride keeps you from doing it. Pride keeps you from God saying, well done. Well done. Pride keeps that from happening. God has called us to be here in Huntington at New Life Fellowship. Not because of any name New Life Fellowship has, not because that we do all these ministries and that they're so great and we do them so perfect, even though we don't. We have to rely on God for every single thing the church does. Everything the ministries does, you've got to allow God to lead it. Because He's the only one who doesn't lead it astray. He's the only one who doesn't lead it down the path of destruction. We're flawed individuals. We let flesh lead our lives. And when we allow flesh to lead our lives, we're not letting the Spirit. We're not letting the Spirit lead our lives when we allow pride come in and pride to destroy it. Pride to wipe all the ministries away that you could have done. To wipe your witness away. It's hard to lead people to Christ if you're prideful. It's hard to share the gospel if you're prideful. Because you're saying to yourself, I'm good. I'm good. Listen to me, church. Unless you have Jesus Christ, you're not good. You've got to have Jesus Christ in your life. He takes it all away. But listen to me. I hope I'm not making it sound too easy, because it's not easy. It's not easy not to be prideful. It's not easy not to allow God to work. It's hard because there's this battle that continues to go on and on. We see it between two people here, the king of Nineveh and then King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. There's two things happening. There's a fleshly thing and a spirit thing. One's allowing their flesh to work and one's allowing the Spirit to work. I hope you can choose today to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, to allow the Holy Spirit to convict you. It's okay to feel conviction. It's okay because praise God He doesn't leave us there. Praise God that when conviction comes upon you, when you know you've done something wrong, He corrects it. He shows you how to get it right. Praise God this morning. Praise God that He's dealt with sin through the Son, Jesus Christ. He's dealt with it. Church, all you got to do is repent and take it. Repent and take it. I'll say it again. Humility brings repentance, and repentance brings restoration. Do we need restored? Do we need a redeemed church? Does America need restored? Listen to me. This issue is not only for individuals. It's for nations. It's for kingdoms. It's for all over the place. If they would repent, I might heal their land. If we repent, He might heal America. He just might. That's what the king of Nineveh says. That's what the king says. He says here, who knows? Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn with His fierce anger so that we will not perish. And this is what He does when a nation or individual repents. When God sees our repentance, what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He relented. What does relent mean? It means He didn't bring about destruction. The destruction that was promised, He didn't bring it about. He did not bring on them the destruction He had threatened. And listen to me. If you don't have Jesus Christ, there's destruction in your path. There's destruction coming your way. And if you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, if you accept Him in your heart, the destruction is wiped away. God relents and redeems. Let's stand.